This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of old-time radio, this is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. We'll hear two from Suspense this week. Our first episode, suggested by Rhonda, features Charles Laughton. It's titled De Mortuis. It first aired February 10th, 1949, and we'll continue our Suspense replay with The Last Days of John Dillinger, an episode from May 10th, 1954.
And now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Charles Laughton in De Mortuis, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder.
Friends, the Autolite Company also presents the Autolite Stay Full Battery, a powerful package for practical people who prefer pep and performance. Why, by Cornelius, the Autolite Stay Full Battery is so different, delightful, and de-lacking in thirst, it needs water only three times a year in normal car use. Yes, sir, Autolite Stay Full is the battery with the big buoyant reservoir that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. An Autolite Stay Full battery has an extra ample sample of Aquapura. It's as full of H2O as a Florida orange is full of juice, a Texas grapefruit full of succulent sap. So, friends, here's the pitch. Be right with Autolite. Switch to an Autolite Stay Full battery tomorrow.
And now, Autolite presents Charles Laughton in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Now, a bit more there. A touch of smoothing here. And that's a job well done. It's not a bad job for the village medico. I don't think a mason could have done better. Until the concrete hardens, I better...
Someone here. Nobody goes out and leaves the house open.
Oh, Doctor Wood. He trusts people. Oh, we'd better give it up, George.
You'd think Irene would be about.
She ought to be, by the looks of things.
But she's a bad one. I saw her again only last night with that commercial traveler.
Shh, George. Doctor might be downstairs. The cellar door is open. You think it rude of... Doctor!
There you are. Didn't you hear us?
I thought I heard someone. I wasn't sure.
Well, we were going out after some partridge, and I thought you'd like to come along. We wouldn't have come in the house, only George thought that seeing as the door was open and all, that someone was home.
Aye.
So we walked in, and then I saw the cellar door open, and down we came. Where's Irene?
Irene? Oh, she's gone visiting.
Oh, well, then let's go shooting. Wet concrete. Going in for a bit of masonry, Doc?
There's been some water seeping up through this floor. It's an underground spring, perhaps.
Underground spring? Why, Doc, I sold you this house, but I never heard of a spring beneath it.
Doc, it looks as though Greg built you. It did.
Not Doc, I didn't. You know, when he came up from London a year ago, I could tell right away that he was a fine fella. When he and Irene wanted to get married, I sold him the best house in the village.
Now, maybe it was only the rains, Greg.
Well, I don't know. You certainly went deep enough, Doc. Hey, you see, you got a bit of clay on your shovel.
That's 4 feet down, the clay.
18 inches, George.
Not according to the maps. 4 feet, it says on the Sudbury maps.
Well, there's no need to argue the toss. Let's get on with our fowling before the partridge gets tired of waiting, eh, Doc?
Well, not today, boys. I've got things to do.
Well, we might as well get along. How's Irene?
Oh, she's never been better. She took the afternoon train to North Welsham.
To North Welsham? Well, there's no afternoon train to North Welsham. No more than the clay is only 18 feet.
Did I say North Welsham? I meant Norwich.
Oh, are you friends in Norwich, Doc?
Mrs. Slater, she lived next door when Irene was just a child, over on Victoria Cross.
Slater? Next door to Irene? No.
Oh, that was a long time ago, Greg.
Oh, well, I've been in Sudbury all my life, and I've known Irene all my life. Never any Slaters on Victoria Cross. Right, George?
Aye. I lived on Victoria Cross myself. Clay's 4 feet down there, same as here.
Now, let's drop the whole thing. Maybe the woman married again, and that's why you don't recognize the name.
Oh, well, maybe. Well, you better change your mind about the hunting, Doc. Your wife's away on a visit. You just finished filling a hole in the cellar, and... Oh, good heavens, Doc, you didn't.
4 feet down to the clay, that's what it is.
What are you two fools talking about?
Oh, it's not that you didn't have provocation, Doc. We know that.
Provocation? Are you suggesting that I... You stupid fools, you go get the constable and let him start digging.
Oh, now, hold on, Doc. It's not as if we mind. If it could ever be called justified, this is it.
Aye.
We could have told you. I warned you about the bad houses to buy, not half I did. But when it comes to marriage, well, we all knew Irene.
The Sudbury baggage. That's what we used to call her.
And when a fine chap like you comes along and fixes to marry her, well, you want to say something, but
what?
But what, I ask you?
It's not like buying a house, it ain't.
I suppose I am rather old for Irene.
Well, you could be a young one, and it'll be just the same thing, Doc.
Now, not everyone wants the same thing. I'm a sort of a dry chap, and I don't open up easily. And Irene, well, you'd call her kind of gay.
Aye, that's one
She's
word.
She's no housekeeper, I know that, and that's not the only thing a man wants. She enjoys herself.
Oh, that she did.
And that's what I love about her. She's not very deep mentally. Well, all right, you can say she's stupid. I don't care. She's lazy, no system. Well, I've got plenty of system, enough for both of us. She's enjoyed herself, and it's beautiful and innocent, like a child.
If that was all...
But you two seem to know that there was more.
Why, everyone knows it. George, you just tell him what you saw at the pub.
Aye, you know me, Doc. I'm no pub crawler. I'm a single potter. But every night the past week, when I've gone in for my pot of ale, she's been there, and with that Harry Manning, the commercial traveller, who's been at the Lion. Everybody's seen her.
The village will be on your side, Doc.
Why?
And not that it'll mean much if it comes to a trial.
What shall I do?
Well, we all make mistakes, Doc. You know, in a way, we got you into it by not saying anything before you married her. And the way I see it, well, it's sort of up to us to help get you out of it. That right, George?
Still, there's such a thing as being an accomplice.
No, not the way we'll do it. When we came in here, the street was empty, wasn't it?
Aye.
And we haven't been down in the cellar. You get that, Doc? We shouted upstairs, but when you didn't answer, we went on after Partridge. We never came down in this cellar.
I wish you hadn't.
Now, all you have to do, Doc, is say that Irene went for a walk and never come back. And George and I'll say that we saw her driving away with this commercial traveller. What's his name, George?
Harry Manning. Ah. He was paying his score at the Lion this morning, so I guess he's moving on.
The whole village knows about him and Irene. What? So they'll believe that she might leave with him. We better nip off now. We'll go out the back way. I'd cover up that fresh cement if I were you, Doc.
Aye, and don't be telling folks the clay is only 18 inches down.
The whole village knows about this. Oh, no. Why did they have to come down here? Why can't they keep their mouths shut? Why tell the patient he has a cancer? Why?
Hello, I'm back.
I'm down here, Irene.
Oh, can you beat it? I missed the train.
Oh? Which way did you come back?
I walked across the field, how do you think? It's twice as far through the village. If you'll drive me to Colchester, maybe I can catch the train there.
Maybe. Did you meet anyone coming back?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, aren't you finished with that dirty job yet?
No, I'm afraid that I shall have to take up this floor again. Come on down here, dear. I'll show you.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Charles Laughton in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
You know, Hap, during that bitter cold spell...
Oh, no, cold spell? Why, this is Southern California.
I was in Montana, where zero is another name for prickly heat. Well, I was telling a fellow about how to get summertime operation out of his car. By Cornelius, I said, get one of those Autolite Stay Full batteries with the extra liquid reserve. Friend, there's enough extra water in an Autolite Stay Full battery to irrigate Death Valley or make a rainstorm in the Sahara.
Oh, not that much, huh?
Grabbing his arm, I said, those Autolite Stay Full batteries need water only 3 times a year. Yes, sir, only 3 times a year in normal car use. And hanging onto his muffler...
Muffler? Well, what kind?
The double-chested kind in Montana.
Oh.
And I told him the extra plates in an Autolite Stay Full battery mean this rugged receptacle has a rapid response and a raft of reserve. And then I said, as the button pulled off his coat, Autolite Stay Full batteries...
Hello, that's my coat.
Oh, sorry, Hap, here's your button. Autolite Stay Full batteries are just another one of the 400 automotive, aviation, and marine parts from one of the 28 plants of the Autolite Company.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Charles Laughton in De Mortuis, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
There you are, Mrs. Green. I'll be sure you come back next week for another injection. We'll have you feeling fit in no time.
Well, how much will they be, these injections, Doctor?
3 shillings apiece, Mrs. Green. Now, there's no need to pay it right away. We'll see about that later.
Oh, now, that's just like you, always doing something for others with never a thought to yourself. You know, Doctor, I was talking to Mrs. Parks about you only the other day.
Oh, yes?
It's no good, I says, for a man to be living alone. Say what you will about it. A year it is now since that, she left you. Good riddance it was. And it's time you was looking about.
You mean to say it's really a year since Irene left? You know, the time seems much shorter than that.
You know, it's not that we owed with divorce, Doctor. But if there was ever a man justified, you're that man.
Justified, you said? You know, it's very odd how a word like that keeps being mentioned. Mrs. Green, I know that you mean well. I'd rather not talk about it, if you don't mind.
Well, a body can't help thinking...
Yes, I'm sure of that. Now, you come in again next week for your injection, and don't you forget...
I won't do this, Doctor, and you think I will...
Good day, Mrs. Green. Yes?
You, the doc.
Yes, I'm Dr. Rankin. Won't you come in?
Don't mind if I do.
Now, what seems the trouble, Mr....
Harry Manning.
Harry Manning, your name seems familiar.
Yeah, I dare say. I'm a commercial traveler. Most of the boys around the villages know me.
And a few of the women, I suppose.
Well, I wouldn't say no, Doctor. You know how it is.
I suppose I do. Now, what did you say was wrong, Mr. Manning?
Well, I don't rightly know, Doc. Just feeling a bit under the weather hit me just as I was driving into Sudbury. So I looked for the nearest doctor near I am.
So I see. Well, I think I'd better examine you, Mr. Manning. Would you remove your shirt, please?
Yeah.
Have you been in Sudbury before, Mr. Manning?
Once a year, Doc, as regular as the calendar. It's a fine little place.
Did you say that you just arrived? You haven't checked in at the inn yet?
You're my first stop, Doc. Like I said, I was feeling a bit under the weather and I wanted to check up on it. You see, I wanted to look up an old friend here. I felt I'd better be feeling just right. Oh. Si, maybe you know her, Doc. A downy bit by the name of Irene.
Irene? I don't believe I know her. What was her last name? Would you breathe a little deeper, please?
You know, she never did tell me her last name. I got the idea she was hammered for proper.
Hammered?
Yeah, married. Didn't want her old man to know she was out seeing life. Oh, she was a real live chicken, a neat one she was.
I'm afraid that I never knew your Irene.
Well, I can probably find her by asking down at the pub. They'll know her.
No doubt. I imagine you're anxious to find her.
You said it, Doc. As soon as you put me to rights, I'll sign in at the Lion and I'll pop her out the pub.
Of course. How long has it been since you've seen a doctor?
Oh, 4 or 5 years. Aye. What you trying to tell me, Doc?
I'm afraid, Mr. Manning, that your heart is not in the best of condition.
Oh, are you trying to tell me that I'm going to...
to pop off?
You might live many years, Mr. Manning, but if I were you, I would avoid any sort of excitement. In the meantime, I'll give you something that'll give you a temporary relief.
You wouldn't be kidding me, would you, Doc?
Kidding, Mr. Manning?
You know, pulling me leg?
Not at all. You may put your shirt on, Mr. Manning.
How long have I got, Doc? Give it to me straight.
Well, that might be difficult to say, Mr. Manning. So many things must be considered in a case like yours. I would say that how long you live depends on the way that you follow my advice.
Oh, I'll do anything you say, Doc.
Fine. First of all, I want you to take this capsule. Here's some water.
Oh, all right. How often do I take them, Doc?
I think that one will fix you up for the time. If it doesn't, just come back, I'll give you another one.
You mean that just one will do the trick? Say, that's great, Doc. How much do I owe you?
2 shillings.
2 shillings? Certainly reasonable enough. I thought it'd be at least a quid. Here you are.
Thank you. With that medicine to fix you up, Mr. Manning, you should have no trouble at all finding your Irene.
Are you busy, Doc?
Hello, George. Come on in.
Who was the bloke leaving your office before, Doc? He looked familiar.
He's a commercial traveller. He said his name was Harry Manning.
I could have... Harry Manning. He's the one...
I believe that he is the gentleman that you and Greg have mentioned several times.
What did he want?
A doctor, strangely enough. He wasn't feeling very well.
Did he know who you were?
That I was a doctor, yes.
No more?
No.
He'll be going straight to the pub, won't he?
I imagine he will. Although I told him to avoid excitement, he has a bit of a bad heart.
Aye?
Now, what's wrong with you, George? Or is this a social call?
A bit of both, Doc. We've been friends for a long time.
Ever since I arrived in Sudbury, I suppose in a way you and Greg are the only friends I've had.
That's what I've had in mind, I did. You see, Doc, I'm in a spot of trouble, and I thought you might want to give me a hand.
Gladly if I can. What's the trouble, George?
Well, money troubles, Doc. I have a lot of bills that must be paid.
If you're talking about my bill, George, you should know that I won't press you.
Oh, I wasn't worrying about that. The truth is, Doctor, I need about 100 quid.
Yikes. £100?
And I was thinking maybe you might loan it to me.
I would if I had it, George, but you know that I'm not one of those Harley Street toffs. My patients pay 2 or 3 shillings when they can pay.
You could raise it, maybe.
Perhaps, but I think that you could find a loan easier than I could, George. You've lived around here all your life.
Aye, and I know what I know. It's 4 feet down to the clay. That's what it is.
I see. You, Dr. Rankin?
Gregory here, Doc. Thought maybe you'd like to go out after some partridge this afternoon.
No, Greg, I don't think that... Yes, I might at that. It'd do me good to get away from the office. And George is here now. Perhaps he'll go with us. Would you hold on? It's Greg, George. He wants to go hunting. What do you say?
What about my 100 quid?
Oh, I think I can help you, George. What about the hunting?
I don't care if I do.
Fine. George will go with us, too. It'll be like old times, huh?
Good. All right. Meet at my place.
Righto. There's nothing like old friends getting together, is there, George?
Aye.
Especially when they can help each other. I'll get the money for you. Somewhere or other, considering the cause, I guess we might say that almost any method is justified.
See you, boy. Well, there's a bit of a chill today. Should mean a good bag.
You and George must have gotten chilled waiting for me. I'm sorry I was a bit late.
Oh, well, couldn't be helped. Yeah, what was the call?
A commercial traveler. He had a heart attack on the street.
That wouldn't be the same one that was coming out of your office today, would it, Doc?
Yes, it was the same man.
Well, fancy that. It'd be funny, Doc, if it turned out you gave him the wrong medicine by mistake.
I never prescribe mistakes, George. You, might as well let the dog go, Greg. We're coming to a good spot.
I'll bear off to the left. You two can keep to the right.
All right, boy. Flush him.
I'll lay you a quid, I beg, more than of you.
Done, George.
Hey, Doctor, George seems a little nervy today, like he had the wind up about something. You got an idea what's wrong?
No, he seemed all right when he was at my office earlier. Hey, look, the dog's struck a point.
Ah, that he has.
I'll swing to the right, Greg. That way we'll have them between George and myself, and you'll have them in front. All right, Greg.
Flush him, boy.
Hey, Doc! George! Ow!
I got two of them.
Doc, that first shot, I think it hit George.
What? Good heavens. George.
Only 100 quid. That's no cause to...
I tried to stop you, Doc. I could see your gun wasn't swinging high enough.
I thought I was aiming high. But I wanted to hit the birds before they scattered. God help me.
Oh, Lord. Look at the blood on him. Well, can't you do something for him, Doc?
Well, I'm afraid I can't help him now, Jook Craig. He's dead. Sit down, Greg. I'll fix some drinks.
He was no more than 30 feet away. Just standing there waiting for the birds to flush.
I should have seen him. Was that what you meant, George?
No, I didn't say that, Doc. No, I was just thinking.
Yes, I know how it is. Here's your drink.
Thanks. No, I just couldn't drink. Not yet. Doc, I want to ask you something.
Of course. What is it, Greg?
That commercial traveler who had the heart attack, the one that George mentioned, was his name Harry Manning?
I believe it was, now that you mention it. It was something like that.
Oh, I see. Doc, why don't you leave Sudbury? Go to some other village. England's full of quiet little villages where a doctor can build up a good practice.
But I already live in such a village, Greg. I like Sudbury, and I have certain plans.
But, Doc, it may be dangerous for you if you stay.
Are you threatening me, Greg?
No, of course not, only I...
A man, especially at my age, can't simply pick himself up and start all over again. I've spent a great deal here, not only of money, but of myself. I like this place and its people, most of them.
I know, Doc, I understand, but...
As for the danger, I believe that I can take care of that. Oh, do you remember my cellar, Greg?
Your... Cellar? What about it?
Well, it's hardly a cellar now. I've turned it into a research laboratory. It's full of the best equipment. Come on, I'll show you.
Oh, no, not now, Doc. Some other
now,
time.
Greg, you're my friend, my only friend now that George is gone. I want you to see it.
No, Doc, I...
Now, come on, Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, you... What are you talking about? You haven't done anything to the cellar. It's just the same as it was that day. Here, I'm going to... Oh.
You're going to what, Greg?
What did you do? What did you stick with me with?
A hypodermic needle, Greg. It's an honorable symbol of my profession. And don't try to leave, Greg. You'll never make the stairway. Now, you see...
Have you... Kill me?
Not yet, Greg. Now, do you feel that I have to kill you, that you know too much and you suspect even more? You got too many secrets to keep to yourself. Is that it, Greg?
You did kill that commercial traveler, and then you got to worrying about what George and I knew. Mm-hmm. And then so you killed George, and now you're going to kill me? I should have turned you in a year ago.
Yes, you should have, Greg. You see, there was water seeping through the floor. I did find clay only 18 inches down. When you came in that day, I didn't know anything about Irene except that I loved her and was happy.
What do you mean? You mean that Irene wasn't?
No. Irene was not dead then. You see, Greg, if anyone is guilty of murder, it is you and George. You killed my happiness. It was you who killed Irene through my hand, and it was you who brought up the commercial traveler. Although it was my medicine, it was you who killed him, as surely as if you'd struck him down in the street.
It was George.
Now, George wanted to transfer his secret to his wallet. And you, Greg, when the secret became three secrets, you found it too heavy for you.
Oh, you're mad, Doctor. You'll never get away with it. With all of us.
I came to Sudbury wanting to serve it, to share the sickness and the poverty as well as the simple day-to-day existence of all of you. I asked no more than that. I wanted...
Help!
Now, you quiet, you fellow.
Help!
I won't have you spoil things now.
Dr. Rankin? Well, he's here. There's no doubt about it. The door was open.
Unless he went out on a hurry call. Dr. Rankin, it's Constable Saunders.
I guess he is out. There's no great hurry on this anyway, Constable. Why don't I come back in the morning?
All right, then. Come along.
Well, it's all right indeed. By tomorrow morning when they return, there won't be a trace of you left, and I'll be free and safe, and no one will ever be the wiser. And what on earth's that?
I tell you, Jones, I saw the cellar light on just as we turned the corner. There. You see? The light under the door there.
Oh, right you are, sir. Must be down the cellar. Didn't hear it. Phew.
Dr. Rankin? Oh, glad I raised you, Doctor. You forgot to sign the death certificate on that commercial traveler today. I say, what are you doing down there, Doctor?
Well, you might as well come down the rest of the way, Constable. And I'll show you.
Thank you, Charles Lawton, for a splendid performance.
Say, Harlow, before Charles Lawton returns, won't you tell everyone the advice you have for them?
All right, Hap. Friends, get a dandy, dynamic, dependable Autolite Stay Full battery with an extra water reserve. It's power-packed for pep and performance in sun, snow, sleet, or suspense.
Well, you forgot another S, Harlow. Service.
Service indeed, Hap, and that reminds me, Autolite makes complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Generators, batteries, starting motors, coils, distributors, all ignition engineered to meet the highest standards of leading automotive engineers. So, folks, tomorrow's the day to treat your car to an expert motor tune-up. Visit your local Autolite service station listed in your classified telephone directory or the dealer who sells your make of car, and be sure to specify original factory parts, the lifeline of your car. Always remember, Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition engineered resistor spark plugs.
Autolite means ignition system.
The lifeline of your car. And now here again is Mr. Charles Lawton.
I am very happy to have had this opportunity of working again with Tony Leader on Suspense again. It has meant working in a story which has been a favorite of mine. De Mortuis has long been a well-loved story, but next week you will be hearing the story of a current novel when radio's outstanding theater of thrills will bring you Miss Jane Wyman, wonderful, in a special adaptation of Pat McGurr's Catch Me If You Can. Another gripping study in
Suspense.
Charles Lawton will soon be seen in the A&T film production The Man in the Eiffel Tower. Tonight's suspense play was by John Collier and was adapted for radio by Ken Crossan. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as James Mason, Van Heflin, Jimmy Stewart, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And remember, next Thursday, hear Miss Jane Wyman in Catch Me If You Can.
you'll find Autolite battery dealers listed in your classified telephone directory under batteries. You're right with Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Van Heflin in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the true story of a reign of terror, the dramatic report of the final moments of a beast, a man without conscience, a professional killer. The last days of John Dillinger, our star, Mr. Van Heflin.
Hi, Hap. Have a cigarette?
No, thanks, Harlow. Prefer my own brand.
A lot of people feel that way about cigarettes, but when it comes to something important, they accept a substitute and never know the difference.
Hmm? What do you mean, Harlow?
Well, for example, take the electrical system of a car. If a replacement is needed, such as a contact set or condenser, you'd think the owner would always insist on original service parts. Exactly the same as those originally installed by the car manufacturer.
Well, I sure would, Harlow.
And if your car is Autolite equipped, as millions are, you should ask for and insist on Autolite original service parts, which work as a perfect team in harmony with the complete electrical system. So, friends, no matter what make car you own, for safe, smooth, efficient performance, always insist on original service parts, the same as those first installed by the car manufacturer. It pays to buy the best. And the best for your Autolite-equipped car is Autolite original service parts. Remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed Mr. Van Heflin in The Last Days of John Dillinger, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
No more in the name of hell.
Hold him, Herbie.
Sure.
Please, stop.
Yeah, let him go.
Sure.
How you feel, Annie? How you feel, copper? Come on, tell me so I know. Oh, no, you oughtn't to laugh at him, Herbie. He's hurt. Hey, Annie, you hurt? You hurt, Annie? How's it feel to be in the cell of your own jailhouse, Annie?
Look, Nellan.
No, you look. On your feet and take a look, Ernie. Ernie, you're out.
Don't hit me anymore.
Take a look. You see the pretty pistol, Ernie? It's wood.
Wood?
Yeah, I whittled it, Ernie.
Wood?
Right after I whittled that bow for your kid, I made me this gun. I put some shoe polish on it.
Mine?
Yeah, his niece.
Sure.
And now we got a real gun, Ernie, yours. And we're going to get out of here, out of the jail. Everybody's screaming that nobody's going to break out of. Come on, let's go, Ernie.
Let's go.
Let me tell you something, copper. From now on, from the second I do this, from just then on, just listen to what I say. Don't repeat it. Just listen to it and do it. I said, let's go. That means we're getting out. I said, keep your mouth shut. It means you say just one word and you're dead. And the last part of it is, when I'm ready to kill you, I'll let you watch. That's fair enough? Now, let's go. Shut up. Find a road that don't look too traveled, Herb. Turn into it.
Sure. Don't kill me, Johnny.
No.
Don't kill me, Johnny. Don't kill me. Johnny, don't kill me, Johnny.
Here.
Looks okay. Well, now, why are you crying, Ernie? Real good hostage like you? You told us where everybody was, where the arsenal was, where the keys to the warden's car was. Well, you're a nice boy.
Don't kill me, Johnny.
Okay, Herb. Out, Ernie.
Don't kill me, Johnny.
Out, Ernie. Now, get up. You want a cigarette? Light? Goodbye, Ernie. Let him walk back, Herb. Let's go.
Don't kill me. Johnny, don't kill me. Johnny, don't kill me, Don't kill me, though.
I like you.
I know, I can tell.
It's one of the reasons I like you.
Come on, Johnny, let's scram from this joint. Let's get going.
Give Herbie another piece of apple pie, huh?
All right. Want some more coffee?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Don't rush Johnny and me, mister. Hi.
Pretty girl like you slinging in a road diner like this.
Don't do that, Johnny.
What?
The truck drivers and the tourists say... They say just what you said. It don't become you.
What does become me, Molly?
Me? Listen.
Huh?
You walked in here half an hour ago and I said to myself, it's John Dillinger. Fellow whose picture I see in the papers with that smile on his face. Same smile as you got now. And you know what about that smile, Johnny?
Huh?
It means you've been there and you've seen it. Whatever there was to see. And nobody's going to fool you. Johnny, what's down the end of the road?
You want to see?
The way you'll show me.
I'm coming back for you, Molly.
Yeah, I know.
First, I got to see some people up the road, a couple hundred miles up the road. People expecting me.
And you're coming back.
Yeah.
Johnny, why don't you join the dance? Why don't you...
Enjoying yourself, babyface?
The time we came together, Johnny, I've been jumping for joy. I just
You're
want you to...
You're dancing on a grave. Herbie's grave.
Yeah, well, Herbie shouldn't have tried a bank job all alone. He should have come up here to Wisconsin with you and your friends, had a party, had fun.
Yeah, should have had a party. Should have had fun.
You miss Annie, huh? Lonesome for Annie, Johnny? You know, if Annie Sage is here, you...
Yeah, I would. She's waiting for me in Chicago. Real soon, I'll drop in on her.
When?
One more day here, then we move out.
Oh, you kidding? Party's only 4 days old. We're just beginning. Where you gonna have it better, Johnny? Look, who's gonna think to look for you in a crummy roadhouse in the Wisconsin woods? We could stay here for weeks. You could send for Annie.
No. No, I like Annie with Chicago around her.
Don't push it, Johnny. Every cop in Illinois is watering at the mouth for a chance.
So you got a liking for my face?
Huh?
My face, you like it?
Oh, sure, Johnny. Well, sure.
You like my face, Annie likes my face, and Molly and the cops, they like my face.
What are you trying to say?
Well, there's a doc in Chicago, a plastic surgeon. For $5,000, he'll make me a new face. Then I don't run. I don't hide. Then I have me a party in Chicago like you never dreamed. Like you never...
Where's Dillinger? Where's John Dillinger? I gotta see John Dillinger. Who's...
I'm Dillinger.
You gotta get out of here, Mr. Dillinger.
Why?
Cops. The back roads is full of them. Cars with cops in them. And plainclothes guys. And they're heading here. I ran all the way through the woods. You gotta get out of here, Mr. Dillinger.
How close are they, kid?
Up at Point Racine. They got to take the dirt road's detour before they... That's where I cut across the hill and through the woods. I ran all the way.
How did you know I was here, kid?
Everybody around here knows you're here, Mr. Dillinger. The big party you're having, this roadhouse opened in the middle of winter, and somebody must have pigeoned on you. Call the
cops. But not you.
Oh, no, not me. That's one of the cars, Mr. Dillinger. I just bet it's...
Kid.
Yes, sir?
You're a good boy, and I'm going to make you one of my gang. You like that?
Oh, sure, sure.
And I'm going to give you my gun. Here, kid, you take it. What's your name?
Paul. Paul Harvey.
Well, I tell you what, Paul. You go out there, and if that's really the cops, like the way you said, I want you to stall them.
How'll I do that, Mr. Dillinger?
You'll think of something, Paul, because you're the kind of a guy I got around me. Guys who think of something when the chips are down. Guys like you. Go on, Paul. Do what Johnny Dillinger told you.
Out the back window, baby, and bring your gun. Cover me. Yeah, jump.
Paul, or I'll shoot.
Hit the ground.
team?
No. Yeah, now I see him.
Then do it, baby.
I want him closer.
You two men, get up. Get up and put up there.
See you around, baby face. Glad you had fun at my party.
You like it, huh, Jimmy? You like what I've done to your face? Here, let me wipe off the mirror. You like it, huh?
You're a butcher, Doc. You're a drunken son of a Chicago butcher. You're a slaughterhouse medic.
Oh, you just hold your tongue, Jimmy.
Bang, Piquet.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. I want to tell you something.
$5,000, Doc. That's what you agreed on. That's what you get.
Now, you listen to me. You died there on my operating table. You died for sure. You died stone dead.
What are you talking about?
My assistant and that slob that gave you too much ether, and you were dead. And I thought fast, and I grabbed a hemostat and pulled your tongue over your teeth. Then I gave you artificial respiration. You were stone dead, Johnny. And I brought you back to life.
You're a drunken butcher, Doc. Go on, give him the $5,000, PK.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Johnny. Now, Johnny.
Huh?
Your fingertips. A new face don't do you any good without you got new fingerprints.
That's right, Doc. You're thinking, Doc.
Yeah. I got it already. Right over here. Come on, Johnny. Take a look. A bowl of acid, Johnny. All you got to do
is... Well, let's get it over with.
Sure, sure, Johnny. Now, you just roll back your sleeves. That's it. Now, give me your hand. No, don't hold back, Johnny. Just give me your hand. That's it. And relax your fingers and...
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Van Heflin in The Last Days of John Dillinger. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Hap, ever hear of a person buying cigarettes without asking for a particular brand?
Never did, Harlow.
Well, some of these same folks accept parts for their car's electrical systems without even asking the name.
They don't insist on parts exactly like those specified by the car manufacturer?
That's right, Hap.
Well, then how can they be sure to get top performance, Harlow?
They can't, and they don't, Hap. Original service parts are designed and built to the specifications of the car manufacturer to work as a team in perfect harmony. That's why it pays to always insist on original service parts when replacements are needed.
And that means Autolite original service parts for my Autolite-equipped car.
Right, Hap, because Autolite designs and builds complete electrical systems for many leading makes of our finest cars, trucks, and tractors. And all Autolite units, like the coil, distributor, contact set, condenser, and regulator, are designed to work together as a perfect team. So, regardless of the make of car you own, it always pays to get only original service parts, like those first installed by the manufacturer. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Van Heflin in Elliot Lewis's production of The Last Days of John Dillinger, a true report, well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Thought at you.
Honey.
Look at you.
Honey.
Hands bandage your face. Get away from me.
All right, I will.
John? John.
Why?
You broke Crown Point weeks ago. How come you're just showing up?
I gotta explain it to you, Annie.
Or else out.
You heard, Annie, you read the papers.
What happened in Wisconsin? 4 days. Babyface came around, told me all about it. And this crazy operation, how long? A week? Two? Where have you been all this time?
Like I'm a child.
That's right. Where have you been all this time?
Well, I'm here now, so what...
Another woman?
Oh.
You can tell me, Johnny.
Now, look.
You can tell me anything, Johnny. You know you can. You always said you could
Something
tell...
Something happens when I'm around you.
What? Tell me what?
I don't know.
Tell me what, Johnny?
The reason I waited so long to come to you. Why I can't stay away.
Leave me, Johnny.
The thing gets so right. It gets warm and... Nothing's exciting.
Hungry, Johnny?
Funny, up in Wisconsin, I was running away, you know, with Babyface after he let that FBI guy have it.
I'll put
and
some
I was running. Running, and you know what went through my mind? Kind of real crazy. This oil cloth on the table, the patterns in it, the blocks, and how you look at me one way, and then they look like they're coming out
Such
from the
a
table.
Nice piece of pie.
And they keep staring, and they change.
Johnny?
You know what I mean?
Johnny.
Yeah?
Don't worry about anything.
Okay.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Sure.
And later you can cry.
Yeah.
I like to see you laugh, Johnny.
Oh, you make me laugh.
Am I funny? You think I'm funny?
No, you're just like a kid. Molly.
Mm-hmm.
You glad you quit that job and come up here to Chicago? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Why you always sit on the floor like that, huh?
Listen, George.
Huh?
Crosby.
I swear you're just like a kid.
Bright-eyed, Johnny? Oh, Johnny, being here in Chicago and knowing what it's like where the roads are. Johnny.
Yeah?
A man like you. You're like a giant, aren't you, Johnny? Not afraid of anything.
It's Molly.
They're looking for you to kid you, and you're not afraid of anything. John Dillinger.
Come over here.
Johnny, how many men?
How
many men dead because of you?
13. So?
The sheriff and the deputies and the cops and the FBI and, and everybody. Looking for you to kill you. And you're not afraid.
Sure.
Sure, Johnny. Sure, Johnny. You're Molly? Yes, what's... I'm Anna Sage. Johnny? Johnny. Till you blew in. Till a month ago when he brought you here. Ask me inside, Molly, so as we can have a heart-to-heart compare notes. Share. All right. Come in. I was just having a bottle of beer. You want one? You want one? Sure, honey. Because I can cry in it how pretty you are. You like Chicago? Crazy for it. Your beer. Doll. A real doll. Johnny's a picker, he is. And he gave you Chicago. Drink your drink, say your say, and then get out. I broke up something coming here right at this time, didn't I, Molly? Yeah. Something real nice.
And you can't wait till Johnny again.
No. Johnny told me about you.
Oh?
I'm sorry for you.
Tell me all the ways you're sorry for me.
Only one. But you haven't got with Johnny.
And you have.
Crazy for it. From the time he walked in the diner where I worked, I was alive.
Advice from an older woman, honey. Make it a memory. Get out of Chicago. Leave Johnny.
For you? Leave a man like that to
leave
something...
Leave him. Keep away from him. Did you hear me? You...
What are you... I just broke my beer bottle, Annie. The way I once saw a man do in a bar I worked in Des Moines. He broke this beer bottle. And he held it close to this woman's face.
Stay away from me.
He held it real close, right under her eye. First he made a little scar. Just a small scar.
Don't.
Like that.
Don't.
You. You get out of here. And you leave Johnny and me alone. Else one day the mood strikes, I'll tell Johnny to kill you. Get out, Annie.
Investigation, Cowley speaking.
You want John Dillinger?
Who is this?
Anna Sage. You want Johnny?
You, giving him to us, Annie? For the $5,000?
Not for the money. I don't care about the money. I don't want Johnny anymore, that's all.
Sure, Annie. Now, where...
I'll set him up for you. I'll call you later, where and when.
Well, listen, Annie...
You just stay by your phone, and I'll make you a hero. Johnny?
What?
Mind if I take a sip of your beer first?
Don't do that.
What am I doing?
Acting girlish. Sweet. Just don't do it, Annie. Just hand me the beer and...
Here.
Thanks. Oh, I never knew Chicago was so hot.
Why don't we go out, Johnny? Cooped up in here, sweating out the heat, clawing at each other like we do. Why don't we go out?
You're crazy.
Well, we're crazy to stay in here. We go to a movie, a nice air-conditioned movie. Cool off for a while.
I go out of here and somebody...
Who's going to know you're sitting in a dark movie theater? What you had done to your face and some dark glasses? Nobody's going to recognize you. Right here in the paper. The Biograph Theater, picture with Clark Gable and Myrna Loy. You like Clark Gable, don't you, Johnny? A Disney cartoon.
Yeah.
For a while, you could enjoy yourself and get out of the heat. Johnny...
What?
You ask Molly to come along if you want.
Annie?
I mean it. You go call up Molly and ask her to meet us here, and then the three of us will go to a movie. And
yeah, Molly told me you was around. Is that how you got that little cut under your eye, honey? Yeah.
No sense to anybody being mad at anybody.
No, there ain't. I'm glad you figured that out.
So why don't the three of us get together for a movie tonight?
Sure. Sure, I'll call Molly. Just sit and watch the cartoon, Annie. Where are you going?
Get some candy. You want some candy, Molly?
No. I got a figure to worry about.
Excuse me, then.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. Cowley speaking.
Anna Sage, Mr. Cowley.
Oh, yes?
We're at the Biograph Theater.
Dillinger?
Yes, sir. We ought to be leaving here in 20 minutes or so. Cartoon and the newsreel.
Right.
Johnny's not wearing a coat. Blue sports shirt. Dark glasses and a straw hat.
Thanks, Anna.
That fella Hitler, he's a comer, huh?
Oh, it's hot. Even with the air conditioning, it's so hot.
Let's get out and get some beer. You want to go with us and get some beer, Annie?
No, I'm going home.
Well, we were just talking
about... Do what you want. I'm going home. Oh, who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Oh, boy. He hits you like a... You feel it, Molly?
What?
The heat. You feel it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go someplace and
you
get a...
You two go on. I'll go
Johnny?
On.
Johnny Dillinger? Huh? FBI, Johnny. Don't go for your
You're
gun.
Not going
to...
I said don't go for it.
Oh! Annie! Annie! Johnny! Johnny!
Did you hear him? He called for me. I kind of thought he would.
Hey! Hey, look! It's Dillinger! It's John Dillinger! Hey, look! Look!
It's John Dillinger.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Van Heflin.
This is Harlow Wilcox for Autolite, the world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. In 28 plants from coast to coast, the men and women of Autolite build over 400 fine products for cars, trucks, tractors, planes, boats, and industry. Autolite contributes its manufacturing experience and skills to the fields of transportation, electronics, agriculture, die casting, and plastics. The Autolite name is famous all over the world for products of unsurpassed quality and performance. In service, too, Autolite facilities are worldwide. Wherever you travel, you'll find trained experts prepared to serve your technical needs. So for superior products, always look for the name Autolite because from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
Next week, the dramatization of an amazing document in which an unbelievable voyage is chronicled, beginning with that moment when Fletcher Christian led the men on HMS Bounty to mutiny. It's called The Revenge of Captain Bligh. Our star, Mr. Charles Lawton. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morwick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Last Days of John Dillinger was adapted for Suspense by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. In tonight's story, Kathy Lewis was heard as Anna and Michael Ann Barrett as Molly. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Tom Brown, Roy Glenn, Parley Bear, Sam Edwards, Jimmy Eagles, and Joseph Granby.
Van Heflin appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the picture Three Coins in the Fountain in CinemaScope and Technicolor.
And remember, next week, Mr. Charles Lawton in The Revenge of Captain Bligh.
You can buy Autolite original service parts, Autolite standard or resistor type spark plugs, or Autolite stay full batteries at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour. In the meantime, there's more old-time radio and links to everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. And a big thanks to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.